Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, good morning, everybody. It's Ken Shepherd once again broadcasting on the show Making Money in Real Estate When You Have No Money, which, as I said many times, I think is a really interesting subject. So I'll go ahead and start the show with a disclaimer, as we always do, and I'll provide that right now. This show is intended only for the listeners of the show and anybody they talk to. All information, investment-wise, contained in this show has been secured from sources Creative Flips, Inc. believes are reliable, and Ken Shepherd, of course, believes are reliable, but we make no representation or warranties, expressed or implied, as to the accuracy of the information, the views, opinions, conclusions, and other information expressed in this show are not the responsibility of Creative Flips, Inc. or Ken Shepherd in any manner. Creative Flips, Inc. or Ken Shepherd accepts no liability or responsibility for the content of this show or for the consequences of any actions taken on the basis of the information provided in the show. Creative Flips, Inc. and Ken Shepherd recommends that you consult with financial advisor, attorney, accountant, or any other professional, and any other professional, and or I should say, that can help you understand and assess the risks associated with any investment opportunity. Okay, so that's out of the way. So let me talk a little bit about me for a second. My name is Ken Shepherd. In case you guys don't know me, I've been in real estate about 30 years. We closed about $26 million in deal flow recently. We also put up a soft proof of funds for up to $500 million to purchase distressed assets. We have access to a lot more capital than that, but we've provided that through escrow title to various parties, attorneys, things like that. We have a website, www.creativeflipsplural, like flipping a pancake, .websplural.com. Web's like a spider web. Look at the resume and the accomplishments tabs. Look around the site. Learn more about us. You can interact with us by sending us an email to F as in Frank, C as in Charlie, I as in India, at Pacbell, P-A-C-B-E-L-L.net. And you can also reach us from our office line 24/7. 310-358-7087, or on our cell during California business hours, 9 to 5 Pacific Coast time in the United States, at 818-585-9706. You can also follow us on our Twitter feed, which is A, which is at, of course, the A symbol, the at symbol, Ken Shepherd, at Ken Shepherd. That's our Twitter feed, and on our Facebook page and such like that, and learn more about us any way you want. So we're involved heavily with real estate on helping people get deals done. We also are starting to do meetings on Thursdays and Mondays at 9 a.m. California time in a conference environment to get a networking thing going on for folks that are like mindset. There's a $20 cost for those calls. And we're hoping to have 15 or 20 folks on those calls. We look forward to having a wonderful relationship with you. If you're interested in that, please send a email to a specific email address for the conference calls, which is kenshepherd51, kenshepherd51@yahoo.com. Okay? So you send that, and we will do everything we can to help you grow and support you and build a network for you within our group. We're, as I said, trying to keep it to 15 to 20 people initially so we can really grow it out. And it's just $20 a person if you want to come. That's fine. Send us an email, and we'll send you the instructions for that. You could also listen to the archive shows, and that might help you as well, on the Blog Talk Radio, and of course this show live or through the archive if you choose. A lot of people are doing archive listening and calling us and sending us emails and saying how wonderful it is. If you want to reach us by email or phone or the numbers and the email address we gave you, all you have to do is put Blog Talk Radio in the subject line of your name and or tell us that when you call, and we'll know how we came to hear about you, and we'll be more than happy to see if we can help you with any deals. So we've talked about a lot of different kinds of things on these shows, I put this together because I wanted to do something to help people that didn't have any economics attached to it, that didn't have any classes or any kind of anything attached to it, books, tapes, anything like that, meetings. This is a radio show. Now, the meetings are different, of course, because they're a conference environment where we exchange information on a live basis. But this is an opportunity for education specifically, where we speak to you, and sometimes we'll have guests. I talked to a guy yesterday who's very heavily in the mobile home space, and he's been doing very, very well. And he's going to come on as a guest in the next few weeks and talk about buying and selling mobile home parks. And he's raised a lot of money. He's very successful, and he's building a nice business. And he's based in the San Diego area, but he's buying pretty much all over the country, I guess. So we'll talk to him at a future time. I'm going to bring some other folks on as guests. So let's get to the subject matter hand of this particular show today. And what seems to be the thing that people want to learn more about than anything else is how you work with real estate after the auction with the banks and folks like that. So we're going to kind of talk a little bit about that process and what it's like. Okay, so first of all, the one thing I want to tell you is when you're dealing with the banks, most of the people inside the banks have a lot of experience in the industry of real estate. They were put in the position of disposing of the assets because they have the knowledge and the wherewithal to know what to do to get the best value they think is possible for their seller, which is their boss or their lending or their company or whatever. But most of the time, you'll find they're very educated people. So when you speak to them, if you don't come off with authority and you don't come off like you're very educated in what you do, they will not take you seriously, and they will feel very, they won't want to do a business with you. So because what's happened is, like, I talked to a guy yesterday from a bank, and he says, I'm so tired of getting calls from people who don't have any money, who don't have the ability to do deals, who think we're just going to sell assets at 20 cents on the dollar, and it's really not going to happen, and it's just really not a valuable use of my time. And so I said, well, you know, the one thing you have to understand is that, you know, when you're selling these assets, there's a lot of people that have taken a lot of courses, and they think that from that they could just magically come in and buy these assets at these deep discounts. And while that may be possible in very rare circumstances, it's generally not the case, and these people, as I said, are very educated at what they do. So what I recommend to you is make sure that when you're calling a bank that you have the education base and you have the knowledge and you learn from listening to the archives and talking to us and such how to handle those situations. We're even happy to help you if you have a bank you've talked to and they, you know, at all, and they've had an interest in learning more about what you could do, we could talk to them with you, and we could help you through it. We've been doing that. We just did it yesterday for this gal, and I think it went really well. I talked to the banker. It turned out we have a lot in common, and they're going to be taking a look at doing a couple deals with us. They actually mentioned one to us that they didn't even originally suggest because of what we do, but what happens a lot of times is once they get confident in you, they mention other assets to you that they want to sell, and they mention how you guys can work together and or we can work with you with the bank to move the assets. So it's very important that you be credible when you're talking to the banks. If they don't feel you're credible, as I said, they just will not listen to you. I'm going to work on actually getting a bank officer to do one of these discussions. He may not want to disclose who he is, but I'm going to ask him if he'll just do this for me to be part of this so he can talk from his standpoint as a banker as to what they look for at a bank. And I think that'll be very helpful because most of the time when you do these, when you have these webinars or seminars or classes or books or tapes, they never bring a live person on who's in the field. And you're basically taking it secondhand as to how they really think and what they really want. And we want you to have it firsthand. So also the call-in number for the call is for this show, rather, is 347-989-1329. So the most important thing, as I said, when you're dealing with the bankers, is you want to make sure that they feel that you're credible. Because if they don't feel you're credible, they're just not going to work with you, and you're not going to get anything done. But if you feel like you're starting with them and they're open to the idea of talking to you, and again, you feel that you're not getting where you need to go, we'll be more than happy to help you at any step, okay, at any point in the process. So we're here to support you, we're here to grow with you, and we're here to learn with you. So when you're dealing with bankers, one of the things you want to remember in REOs is they never wanted the asset in the first place. So they obviously want to get it taken care of and taken off their books. It's called liquidating the assets, creating cash from the real estate or from the note. They, at the bank, usually have a price that they're looking for. Sometimes they're flexible, sometimes they're not. Many times you have to educate them as to why the price should be what it needs to be. And we've talked about this in prior shows as a buyer. When you want to educate a seller as to why they should sell you an asset at a particular price, it's pretty much the same when you're dealing with the bank. You want to make sure you tell the bank there's reasons that they should sell you the assets. There's things going on in the market. You can point to Greece. You can point to the economics of the world, the election. That's a general one everywhere. And you can point to the local economy if you're dealing with a property in a particular area. You can point to the crime statistics, all kinds of things that would carry an attitude into value and what the issues are with different things that may be going on in either a state or a county or a city or a street or wherever that property is located that could make them understand all the different things that go into your thinking about why you're asking them to take the price that they're being asked to take. And sometimes they'll come back to you and say they already know that stuff. And many times they'll come back to you and say, you know what, those are really good points. And like we had a deal the other day, and I think I've talked about this before, where they owe $1.2 million, and I made an offer of $500,000. The bank countered at $750,000, and I told them that wasn't a number that I could accept, and I told them why, based on other deals we've done and based on the market and the things we've just talked about. And after a number of back and forths, we seem to be settling at $600,000. So we're having a meeting with them actually today at 1 o'clock Los Angeles time to go over the terms and conditions of what our $600,000 offer would look like and how it would be structured. And I'll talk about that more as we get further into that. What I'm also going to do on this show is I'm going to talk about deals we actually have in process, real deals with real people, so that you guys can hear on the real side of the world what's going on rather than classes and books and tapes, but real deals in process with real opportunities. One is this deal we're working on right now with the $600,000 I mentioned. Another one is in the Pennsylvania area where the bank's willing to sell the note at a deep discount. And the borrower actually hasn't responded, which is really strange, although the borrower hooked us up with the bank in the first place. And then another one is an apartment building in Ohio we're dealing with a court and with a bank and with a seller and with a broker. And another one is, there's a bunch of other ones, but those are the ones that come to my mind immediately, and I'm sure I'll think of more. Oh, another one is we're working on is four notes where the bank's asking $1.5 million, the notes are worth $1.7 million. They're due and payable over a long period of time, so that they don't have the highest yield between the discount and the interest rate. But the value of the asset's about $2.6 million. So we offered them $900,000. They have $1.5 million in their mind. So we're trying to work out a difference of pricing, and we think over time they may come back and reduce the pricing little by little. They started at $1.3 million and they're now at $1.5 million. So they dropped the price $250,000. So the other thing you want to think about when you're talking to banks is how did they get the assets? Did they get it through foreclosure? Did they get it by buying another bank? Did they get it by buying it at the auction? How did they acquire the asset? Because depending on how they got the assets, they may have intended to buy those assets. They may have intended to be the holder of the property. And if they are, then they obviously are trying to sell it for a profit. If they didn't intend to have it, then they're trying to sell it to get out. So if a bank foreclosed and they hold the note, or they hold the property now, and it's past the point of holding the note, they now own the real estate, then they want to get their money back out as much as they can for what they invested in the property in the first place. If it's a group that bought a bunch of properties or notes from an auction or another bank or whatever, then they're turning it over for a profit, and that's their business. So they're much more in the business of just selling the assets and, you know, getting a profit. It's not about that they got into it other than what they paid for it. So there's a difference there with the kinds of ways that those assets are acquired. The other way people are buying assets is they're going to auctions like auction.com and the LNR platform and learning about how they can buy assets that way. Now, the problem with that is you're involved in a lot of competition. We have a tendency to want to look at things where there's not a lot of competition, where we're dealing directly with the seller, the lending bank, where it's off market, where it's under market. This is where we're seeing the opportunity. And we're seeing it with all kinds of things from all kinds of places. And one of the reasons I do this show is to not only teach you, but to have you get in touch with us so we can do more business with you. Again, our call-in number is 347-989-1329. And, of course, the website you have and the email and all that you have from either listening to prior calls or from the information we provided at the beginning of the show. So I have about 13 minutes left. So we're going to talk a little bit now about, you know, approaching these institutions and these banks. And one of the things that you want to do is you want to make sure you're dealing with the right department. One of the things we like to do in order to get to the right department, if we don't know the right department initially, is call the president's office of the bank. Now, you think, of course, how do I call a president's office and why would they take my call? Well, if you're calling the president's office, generally they won't put your call through unless you tell them why you're calling. And what we always say is, my name of my company is such and such, in my case, Creative Flips, Inc., and we're interested in speaking to the president's secretary, not to the president, but to the president's secretary about the right person to speak to about purchasing the distressed assets, the real estate, the notes that you may have for sale. And on that basis, they may put you through. And if that becomes a problem and they don't want to put you through on that, then I would go to the next highest executive until you finally get to somebody that they will put you through to. You can find the names of the executives right on the website of the bank, and they all have websites online if they're an FDIC bank. And if they're not an FDIC bank, chances are they're online anyway. And if they're not, you can always find out the list of officers by calling up and saying, I'm thinking about putting my money with your bank. Can you please tell me the name of the five highest ranking officers? And you know, you get their names, and so that's how you can approach the officers of the bank. Now, one of the other things we do is if that becomes a problem, we call back maybe a little later and say, may I please speak to the chairman's assistant? If you get the name of the chairman's assistant, that's always helpful, or the president's assistant, and you can generally get that from the person in the reception area. But one of the things we've also done is just say we'd like to thank them for something. And so when you say you want to thank somebody for something, they sometimes will put you through higher than you ever would imagine in terms of that business, sometimes to the chairman's office. And then when they answer the phone, you just say, thank you for taking my call. So you're not really not saying the truth. You did thank them for something. You thank them for taking your call, and then you just tell them quickly what you want. And remember, when you're talking to these people, be brief, okay? Until you get to the right person, be very brief. Just say, I'm an interested investor. We're looking for the right person to speak to at the bank. Could you please direct me kindly to the right person at the bank? So eventually you're going to get to that person. And when you get there, you say, we're a buyer. We're looking to purchase assets. Do you have any assets for sale or any notes for sale that you would like to dispose of at this time from your inventory or from your portfolio, essentially creating a liquidation event? When you talk like that to those people, they believe that you know what you're doing. You're not calling and saying, hi, I want to buy your notes. You know what I mean? If they think you're reading from a script, they're probably going to just like yawn and raise their eyes and be polite, maybe not, and you're not going to really get that far. But if you talk about that we want to create a liquidation event for you, and we want to help you dispose of your assets that are on your books, in your portfolio, or, you know, in your inventory. Inventory is a good word. Portfolio is a good word. Liquidation is a good word. These are the kind of words that make them think that you are a professional. Because if they think you are, they'll deal with you as such. If they think you're not, they'll deal with you the same way. They'll kind of say, well, really, you don't have anything. Thanks a lot. Goodbye. And so, and you may find that when you do your first view. It may not work out for you. If you need help, give us a call, like I said. But if you don't and you feel like you just keep going, then just, you know, you go on to the next bank. And by the time you do three or four of these, you'll start to get a little more comfortable and a little more comfortable. And one by one, you'll get to the point where you actually feel that you're in charge. And you don't feel they're in charge. And remember, you're the one that has the capital that's driving the transaction. They need to sell. You need to buy. Your requirement to buy definitely is the driver of the deal. The cash drives the deal. The buyer is the seller has to accept what you want to do, but the buyer is the one that drives the transaction because the buyer is the one that's making an acquisition and a purchase. So that's a little bit on that. The other thing is when you write an offer to a bank, you don't have to give them a 40-page document. You can give them a one-page memo. You know, we've used a one-page memo that takes about 5 minutes to fill in the blanks. And all you do is fill it in, put in the address, put in the name, put in a few other things, and send it off to them. After you sign it, you can then fax it to them, or you can scan it and send it as an email. I mean, with all the different tools we have available to us today, just like me talking to you guys on this internet radio station and having an archive for all the calls that I'm making so that I can have something that I can help you with, and you can refer to different calls. And if you look in, by the way, starting yesterday, if you look in the body of the information about what the call is going to be about, you'll see what we're covering in that call. So in where it says, hi, I'm Ken Shepherd, da-da-da-da-da, inside that little block next to the microphone, to the right of the microphone of each day's classes, or shows rather, you'll find what the topic was of that show. And we cover one topic generally on each show. So this one would be dealing with banks and the REOs. So the whole thing is when you're dealing with the banks, you definitely want to give them something that's very clear, very concise, and to the point. Sometimes, like yesterday when I was talking to this bank on the phone, he says, well, I'm looking for this. I said, well, what about this? He goes, nah, that's too low. The point is sometimes you can even have a conversation with them ahead of time on the phone before you even write something up and just get an idea of what they'll take for an asset or a group of assets. And then so when you write up the offer, you know, generally you're in the ballpark of what they'll accept anyway. So you say like, okay, well, I'm willing to pay this because I would take like 50% of the value of the properties or the value of the notes, whichever's less, and use that as a starting bid point. And let them counter you and go back and forth on the phone if you can. And little by little, you'll get to the point where they'll feel very comfortable with you and they'll like you because, frankly, you're doing them a favor by calling them and trying to help them get their assets off their books. Now, sometimes you'll reach a gap on pricing like we were talking about with the one for $900,000 versus $1,050,000. There's a $150,000 gap. There was originally a $300,000 gap. Actually, now it would have been a $400,000 gap because the buyer's at $900,000, and originally he was at $1,000,000, but he dropped his price because he looked at one of the notes and realized that the interest rate was adjusting in November. So as a result of that and the fact they're all long-term loans, he said, let's drop the price to $900,000. So the bank came down from $1,003,000 to $1,050,000. The buyer started at $1,000,000 and then dropped it to $900,000. So we're at now $150,000 apart. So I think over the next 2 to 3 weeks, we'll probably find that we kind of reach agreement on what that pricing should be. And we're getting closer and closer to that point. And I feel that as we move through this process, we will reach the point, hopefully, of a number. Now, the bank also has, and they told me this the other day, about 40 other notes they want me to look at in the next couple of weeks. So that will also be an interesting experience because we have closed with this bank. And they told us that they want us to be somebody they think of immediately once you once they have new stuff. Now, the other thing is when you do close with a bank, boy, will they be happy with you. And then they'll want to do more business with you. They'll probably call you and say thank you, or you know, you'll come, you know, something will happen where you'll feel very confident because you've now completed a piece of business with them. It's not, there's nothing like closing. Now, back to the idea of the offer. When you're writing an offer, you want to keep it brief. You don't have to make it long and overbearing, because it can be subject to any and all conditions precedent and due diligence by the buyer, solely by the buyer. And therefore, you don't have any obligation to anything, because you could always say these are the conditions precedent and you didn't make any conditions precedent specific. So it could be any and all conditions precedent and or due diligence. So you have no obligation. You put up no money. You just talked to the bank and you tried to find a number everybody can agree on. You wrote them a non-binding letter of intent. You sent it over to them. It was a signed letter of intent. They looked at it. Maybe they counter you. Maybe they accept it. And there you go. Now, if they accept it, now's when the business really starts. Because now you've got something you can work with. You've got an accepted offer. And you can start to market that document and help to put that package together. Come to us for the financings if it makes sense. Come to anybody else you find that you can learn about. There's one meeting we actually did, one show we actually did on finding money. So you can maybe go back to that show and listen to that one. And, you know, as I said, please use the archives. The whole point of the archives is so you have all kinds of resources to get all kinds of information. So when you have the offer, as I said, you can make a very simple offer. It can be a one-page memorandum. It doesn't have to be anything complicated. When we talked the other day, I think it was the other day, maybe Monday, with my wife, who's been a real estate agent for 25 years, she mentioned that, you know, it's very important that when you write an offer, it be clear and concise and to the point. Now, the real estate agents have a tendency to use a longer form here in California than I might use if I'm writing an offer to a bank directly, because a real estate agent doesn't want a short form. They want a long form contract because they're a real estate agent. But a bank doesn't probably care. They could work with a very short form, one-page memo. You can always go to long form later. You can always put it in your offer. This is, you know, long form to be provided upon acceptance. You know, so you can go to a longer form, but the short form will suffice for the purpose of this discussion. And if any of you guys want to see the documents we use, I'll be more than happy to provide them. Just ask me and I'll get you a copy of one. But the key is you want to make sure you keep it simple. Now, we've been doing this 30 plus years, so we know a lot of the tricks of the trade. Not everything. Nobody knows everything, but we know a lot of the tricks of the trades, and we're getting better at it all the time. And it's really a matter of making sure that you build that confidence with that bank. I think that's the key, with that seller, with that lender, with whoever is holding those documents or properties that you want to purchase. The documents meaning the notes, properties meaning the real estate. So we have about a minute and a half left. So I'm going to talk a little bit about, once again, how to get in touch with us. You can reach us at www.creativeflips.webs.com, creativeflips.webs.com. Call us, send us an email, send us a text, you know, whatever you want to do, and let us know that you're interested in learning more about what we're all about. We want to be very accessible to you. This show is a place where you can learn. People have written to us saying how excited they are that we're doing the shows. We're really, really all about helping you grow and not costing you any money for the opportunity to grow. I think a lot of people pay a lot of money for a lot of these classes, and unfortunately they pay the money for the classes and they can't get the back office support afterward, and they can't reach anybody, and whoever they reach really doesn't know any more than they do, so it becomes a big circle. Then they tell you, okay, buy more books and tapes so you can learn more about how to deal with our office. And really, that's not what it's all about to me. It's all about getting out in the real world, doing real business with real people, and making deals, closing deals, and having a very nice livelihood. So once again, this is Ken Shepard. The name of the show is Making Money in Real Estate When You Have No Money. And we do that, and you can do that, and we're excited to be part of this. Have a lovely day. Thanks again for listening, and Good luck to all of you, and bye-bye.